Iowa and New Hampshire, two states that don't normally get a lot of attention, but right now you'd have to be holed up on an uncharted desert isle to avoid hearing about them ad nauseum in the news. The reason is simple. The Iowa caucus and New Hampshire primaries are the first votes for presidential candidates this year. But are they a good measure of who wins their party's nomination or how the general election will go in the fall? WFAE's Tom Bullock reports.
During the first Republican presidential debate this month, there was a really interesting moment. Carly Fiorina was asked for her take on President Obama's State of the Union speech.
Well, thank you. Good evening. If I may begin by saying how honored I am to be standing here with two former Iowa caucus winners, Governor, Senator.
That would be Governor Mike Huckabee and Senator Rick Santorum, Fiorina's sparring partners for the undercard debate that evening. The punchline fell flat, but the joke that Iowans don't always pick a winner is true.
This is a great time to be a political demographer to understand all of these dynamics.
William Frey is a political demographer at the left-leaning Brookings Institution. He pours through census numbers, voter registration, and other data to study categories of people according to education levels, income, and race.
If you look at the American electorate in 2016, it'll be about 69% white, which means about 31% minority, of which 12% will be African Americans, about 12% will be Hispanics.
When Iowans get their caucus on come Monday, that diversity won't be seen.
We're talking about, among eligible voters, 91% white.
When the election moves to the Granite State, it's even worse.
If you look at New Hampshire, it's 94% white, okay?
A diverse electorate means diverse views, even on universal subjects.
So all Americans are going to be interested in, say, the quality of education that's available for their children.
Adolphus Belk is a political scientist at Winthrop University.
When you look at the schools that African Americans tend to enroll in, those schools have challenges that are much more formidable than the challenges of your typical white American parent.
So what is the perfect primary state? The best microcosm of America as a whole? Frey says South Carolina, another early primary state, comes close, but he adds, you need to head up I-95 to find the best matches.
You know, Virginia comes closest in that regard.
I bet you thought he was going to say North Carolina.
Not quite as close to the bullseye as Virginia, but North Carolina, I think, is also a good measure, especially if you want to see a state that where the African-American vote may have some impact among those minorities.
There is one way both Iowa and New Hampshire do really matter. No, it's not their delegates to party conventions. Those are important, but the numbers are small. What they can do is give a campaign the big M, momentum, says political scientist Michael Bitzer.
And this plays a role in terms of where the money also goes, because money is not going to follow somebody who comes in fourth, fifth, or below.
Iowa and New Hampshire matter because they can weed out the weaker, unpopular candidates. But even this role of financial firewall may be crumbling, says Scott Huffman with Winthrop University.
You know, in years past, when you don't succeed by getting first at your alleged firewall, you're out. Now you can kind of fail, and as long as you've got leadership PAC or super PAC or 501c4 money coming your way, you can actually hang in there and be the 13th man or woman in the game.
Iowa and New Hampshire do have one thing going for them, best portrayed in song.
Tradition, tradition.
And tradition is a powerful thing. But any proclamations that victories in Iowa or New Hampshire will mean a clear path to the nomination or the White House can be as precarious as
a fiddler on the roof. Sounds crazy, no?
Yes, Tevye, it does. For WFAE News, I'm Tom Bullock.